Women make up about 35% of all the agricultural producers in Wisconsin. That's 5% higher than the national average. That's according to the 2017 Census of Agriculture. A project here in Wisconsin has been bringing together multiple groups to work with women to promote conservation and land stewardship. They celebrate a number of Wisconsin women in conservation in a new publication out this month called Portraits of Love on the Land. You could join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Are we talking about you? Do you own, farm, or otherwise look after a patch of land in Wisconsin? What kind of practices do you have in place around conservation, big or small? Do you have questions about opportunities to promote different kinds of conservation on a small patch of land, big patch of land, any point in between? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@wpr.org. Esther Durayraj is Program Director for Wisconsin Women in Conservation. She's a research agronomist at the Michael Field Agricultural Institute. Esther, welcome to Central Time.
Hey, Rob. Thanks for having me.
And Laura Langworthy is Director of Special Projects for the Wisconsin Farmers Union and an owner of Blue Ox Farm in Wheeler. Lauren, thanks for joining us as well.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
Esther, you've been celebrating a year of programming this year, including with this new publication I mentioned. Can you tell us what the Wisconsin Women in Conservation Project is all about?
So thanks for asking me that question. Wisconsin Women in Conservation is a program that's funded by the Natural Resources Conservation Service and led by the Michael Field Agricultural Institute, which is based out of East Troy, Wisconsin. We partner with other nonprofits, as you mentioned, in Wisconsin, namely Renewing the Countryside, Wisconsin Farmers Union, and Marble Seed. And we work with women landowners, farmers, in order to bring education, outreach about conservation practices. And not only that, we bring resources, trying to bring in the finance, because women have a lot of questions on their mind. But they are good stewards. As we know, women are nurturers by nature of their families, of their land. And so when they want to be better stewards of the land, they have this like a lot of questions about how to go about it. And is that even financially possible? So we try to be the intermediary, bringing people who are connecting women with women. We also bring NRCS resources to them and see how they can make their dreams possible for their land.
And Esther, looking at Portraits of Love on the Land, conservation and stewardship means a lot of different things. Can you talk about a little bit about the range of the projects that participants are doing on their own land?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, this has been an enjoyable experience for us to bring out this book. So women are involved in grazing lands, in agriculture, in urban farming, wetland preservation, soil health, waterways. There's a lot of things that women have been working on to be better stewards of the land. And so as we work with these women, we want to kind of bring out their voices about what they have been doing. If you look at like many a times when we Google this, like conservation, not many of those women pop up. So we want to change that landscape because women are doing a lot of things and we want to bring those stories to their forefront. And so this book has brought about all that, so many of their stories. And we thank those women who have shared their stories with us and to be open about it, to bring it to the public domain.
Lauren, let's visit Blue Ox Farm. Now, it sounds like when you and your partner started this off, you really did have conservation and stewardship in mind right at the outset. Can you talk a little bit about that mindset, first of all?
Absolutely. Well, when we started our farm, my husband, Caleb, it had really spent a lot of time aspiring to be a farmer and learning a lot about agriculture. And I was more of a nature kid who really enjoyed the outdoors and could picture myself living on a farm and all the wonderful things that could come with it, but certainly had a lot more to learn on the agricultural front. And since then, you know, our big adventure has been trying to figure out how to merge both of those visions and try and make our farm both a place that produces food and supports our community, but also has wild space for, you know, the badgers and the foxes and the grassland birds that are endangered. And so trying to balance kind of the economic piece and the personal livelihood, and then these larger goals for what our community and our landscape should look like. It's definitely a challenge, but it's a fun challenge.
And your farm, what you actually produce there has evolved over the years. I read in the book here, and you've gone into grass-based animal production now, kind of as your main gig. Can you talk a little bit about how you do that with conservation and stewardship in mind?
Absolutely. Yeah. When we started with vegetable production, and we kind of joke that it's a good way to turn sweat into money. Doesn't take a lot of infrastructure to get going in vegetables, but it does take an awful lot of work. And as we were doing annual tillage and running a CSA and wholesale accounts and selling at farmers markets and into food co-ops, we were just feeling like we were spending a lot of time tilling soil and weeding. There was a lot of bare soil, even with the best production model that we were able to kind of muster. And I know some people who are able to do it much better than we were, but we were looking at ourselves and thinking, why can't we get more perennials into this system? And why can't we get more things covered and have less bare soil, less tillage? And so that really led us on some self-reflection and some business model reconsideration. And that's how we kind of ended up in livestock, specifically rotational grazing. And so that rotational grazing allows us to really provide some good habitat, do soil building and microbe building, create a healthy animal, and also kind of manage our own labor a little bit better.
We're talking about Wisconsin Women in Conservation. Lauren Langworthy is with us, owner of Blue Ox Farm in Wheeler, and Esther Durayraj, program director for Wisconsin Women in Conservation, also with the Michael Fields Agricultural Institute. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a conservation or land stewardship project going on in your backyard, in your 40 acres, whatever land you're working with? Is there something you've been doing to maintain the soil, maintain animal and plant species and more? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Esther, for that new farmer, maybe a woman getting into farming for the first time or after growing up and then returning to a farm, what kind of help is out there for them here in Wisconsin? What kind of community and mentorship can they reach out for?
Okay. So the way we do our program is to have these for learning circle events. So when they do come into one of these events, they sit with a sister community of women farmers and landowners who are sharing their stories about how they started and how they built their farm, or if the new beginning farmer has questions, they are able to help them. And we also bring in the FSA and NRCS resource persons. So they are able to right away tell them what are the resources that's available for them for purchase of land or for building infrastructure or for all these conservation practices that they can do. And so they go back with a kind of a knowledge of what's available, what's existing. We also have conservation coaches. Lauren is one of our coaches here, who will be able to tell them what are the different things that, like, as she just mentioned, how she thought about a business plan and moved her farm along. These are the kind of stories that the women are exposed to, and they learn from each other. So this is basically a peer-to-peer model, and we kind of find motivation in each other and help the women grow in as a beginning farmer.
And Lauren, I'm looking at a picture of you educating in the book right now. I think, why was it important for you not just to try to make your farm operation a success, but to share lessons you learned along the way with others?
That's a great question. You know, as farmers, we are so busy. We have to have so many different types of skills, from business management to all the technical skills of livestock or plant management and health. And there's just so much that you need to learn. And it's really hard to start from zero in all of those arenas and become an expert in the time that we have. And you really only have one opportunity a season for most agricultural knowledge to be utilized, and then you have to wait until the next year to try it again. So I think any time that we can support each other by sharing the knowledge we've learned, especially about things that can be really complex, like how to navigate some of these government program opportunities or how different ecosystems function, it really helps us all get further when we can share that knowledge into a general pot as opposed to hold on to it all ourselves.
We're talking about the Wisconsin Women in Conservation Project and how it's helping women landowners and other women stewards of land in Wisconsin. Our guests are Esther Durayraj, Program Director for Wisconsin Women in Conservation and Research Agronomist at the Michael Fields Agricultural Institute, and Lauren Langworthy, Director of Special Projects for the Wisconsin Farmers Union and an owner of Blue Ox Farm in Wheeler. A new publication out called Portraits of Love on the Land tells the story of a lot of these women getting involved in farmland conservation. You could join in at 800-642-1234. You can join the conversation. Are you doing some kind of conservation project on land you own, or on are you working maybe as a volunteer on public land? Love to hear your story. Or do you have questions for our guests about what it means to do land stewardship and conservation here in Wisconsin? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@wpr.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. This is Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation about Wisconsin Women in Conservation. Esther Durayraj is Program Director for Wisconsin Women in Conservation and a Research Agronomist at the Michael Fields Agricultural Institute. And Lauren Langworthy is Director of Special Projects for the Wisconsin Farmers Union and owner of Blue Ox Farm in Wheeler, featured in the new publication Portraits of Love on the Land. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you're a farmer yourself on a large or small scale, what kinds of conservation things do you do? What kind of stewardship do you do for your soil and land? And wherever you are, whatever you do you try to plant maybe native species to help butterflies and other animal and insect species? Love to hear from you at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. Esther, as I mentioned earlier, you know, this isn't one size fits all. A lot of different people do different conservation projects. How could people figure out, okay, this is the land I've got, this is the agriculture maybe I'm doing, what kind of conservation methods might be right for me?
So when the women or landowners or farmers come to one of our events and express interest in having a conservation plan, then we right away work with them. We just have something called an intake form where we get the information about their land, their practices that they are adopting as of now, and what they want to see on their land. Sometimes women straight away want to go in for cost share programs, which is the EQIP through NRCS, and then we connect them to the NRCS, and the NRCS professionals walk their land and tell them what is possible for them. And sometimes women are not ready to go there. They just want to know what can they do, what are the possibilities, what are the limitations. And in that case, then we have the funding to have a technical service provider walk their land. We make those arrangements. We find the people to walk the land, give them, talk with them, talk about the dreams that they have for the land. Like, they may have certain dreams that can be possible or not. So this person who walks their land is able to tell them, who's a conservation professional, who's able to tell them what works, what may not, what's the other options that they have. And then at the end of it, they would get a conservation plan document, which they can have it, think about it, and then go for the next step as soon as possible or as late as possible. It depends on them. But they at least have a knowledge of what can be done on their land.
And Lauren, you give a top conservation tip in the Portraits of Love on the Land book. You start saying, start small. Make the case for being willing to start small, even if it doesn't seem like it's going to be a big difference maker.
Yeah, well, this is kind of a joke to those people who know me, but I'm not notorious for starting small or keeping things small. But it's actually really helpful, especially when you're looking at significant changes to a farming operation, to change, you know, a couple of smaller things and see if you like the direction it's going and give it some time to take hold, because conservation really isn't something that happens overnight. And a small change could take years, maybe even, to really reflect on the land. And so being gentle and patient with yourself and not feeling like you have to do it all at once or you have to do really, really big things when you're not entirely certain, it can actually help the whole process go a lot more smoothly to make it more manageable and more achievable.
Esther, I wanted to highlight one project in particular. Now, we might think of agricultural stewardship and conservation is something that happens in rural Wisconsin, which it does. You feature, though, a project in Milwaukee. Could you talk a little bit about that one?
We have an urban ag network in Milwaukee as well, because, you know, actually for rural and urban settings, the agriculture is totally different sense. Many of the urban people are gardeners, community gardeners, or backyard gardeners, and we didn't want them to be let out off the loop. So we have them as well as a part of our group. We meet separately in Milwaukee. We talk with them. Is there any pollinator planting that they would like to have? Is there, something with the vegetable gardens that they're raising? How can we help them? How can we have their land covered during winters, maybe a cover crop? So these are the options that we talk to them. And we also brought out a rainfall simulator a couple of months ago for them to see, like, realistically what happens when a rainfall event happens on their land. And, you know, we bring such kind of education, which opens the eyes for them to adopt various conservation measures, even if it's in a smaller scale.
And Lauren, can you talk a little more? We've talked about why you got into wanting to share education about conservation. On a practical level, what does it mean to be a conservation coach?
Well, that's another great question. I think it really depends on the person who's seeking information. So our role is not as formal as, you know, when you go into the NRCS office or the FSA offices or anything like that. No government centers here. We're just farmers talking to other farmers about what might work and what might not. And so I'm able to share with people when I kind of hear what kinds of questions they have and what kind of hopes and dreams they have, I can say, oh, I happen to know about this program that could maybe provide some cost share toward that bigger goal you have, or I know about an organization that's doing some work in that arena that could help you find some more resources. There are networks of other men and women that to get connected with, and so it's really trying to hear what a person is looking for and help them along their pathway to just not have to do it alone and not have to find everything from scratch.
Talking to Lauren Langworthy and Esther Dureraj about the Wisconsin Women in Conservation Project and the new book from that project, Portraits of Love on the Land, featuring women doing all different kinds of stewardship and conservation. Esther, can you talk a little more about why focusing on women in particular? You were starting to touch on that earlier. Can you talk a little bit about the particular needs of women in conservation and stewardship?
Okay. Yeah, that's a great question. So the way we look at it, women are nurturers. We see that we take care of the family, we take care of relationships, we take care of the land. We are mostly the glue in every single thing that happens around us. And we see that women have great dreams for their land, but there are a lot of questions in the mind, like, is this workable? Is this financially feasible? And there are times that we find it difficult to ask those questions. And so when we bring a group of women together, we have seen this great bonding that happens within a period of an hour, because we sit in a learning circle. We start out with introductions, which talk about what is the what do you look forward to your land and what have you done on your land. We have different set of questions at different events, and so people start talking about the land. And there are, we have like a seasoned landowner, we have beginning farmers, who people were seeking the land, who all are seeking for inspiration and motivation, and we learn from each other. It's a sense of togetherness, the sense of working together. So the way we feel is that, imagine if we can just bring about change in these number, 37% of women are producers now, and if we can bring about a change in how they steward the land in terms of conserving natural resources or bringing a big impact on the landscape, not only helps them, and it's and the future generations, and the kids are watching their moms, and that's a big change. And that's what is our passion. We, our team drives on that passion. We really want to bring about this love for the land. And that's one of the book, that's the title of the book as well, how we really want women who are already loving the land, and we want to give them the opportunities to take better care of that.
I got an email from Patty in Lake Mills who writes, I farm 1,000 acres with our dairy farm. We have a nutrient management plan for our land. We soil sample the land after every crop to see what nutrients the land needs. Also, we plant cover crops like triticale and winter wheat to keep soil in place. And we rotate between corn, alfalfa, and soybeans. As a fellow livestock farmer, Lauren, can you talk a little bit about some of the other conservation options open for people raising animals?
Yeah, as with many conservation opportunities, it depends so much what your goals are and what your current infrastructure is. And so, on my farm, we're doing rotational grazing, which means moving animals from paddock to paddock regularly. In our situation, it's pretty much every day they move to a new paddock. And that allows us to capture that manure and urea and put it back into the soil and grow more grass. But not everybody is set up to do that. Not everybody has either the land base to do it or the labor to do it. And so there are a lot of different ways that people can improve the conservation around their farm. Anything from waterways to your caller mentioned planting cover crops to be able to capture some of that manure. There are just so many things. And depending on where you're starting from and where you're hoping to go, there are just so many opportunities for people.
Esther, in just our last minute or so, I understand the project has gotten an extension now for another couple of years. What are your hopes to accomplish over the next year or so?
Oh, we are moving into newer territories. We've been working in 18 tri-counties, in 18 counties, like 6 tri-county clusters over the last year. We're looking into moving into 12 more counties this year and the next. And so we really want more women to join us. At present, we almost have last year alone, we reached out to about 1,000 women landowners who came to our programs and benefited from it. And we're looking to increase those numbers. We're looking to be of value to women landowners. And so I can just call out the names of the counties that we're going into next year: Trumbull, La Crosse, Monroe, Dane, Rock, Jefferson, Green Lake, Columbia, Sauk, Eau Claire, Chippewa, and Clark. If you're a woman landowner, please connect with Wisconsin Women in Conservation at www.wiwic.org, www.wiwic.org.
We'll get that up at wpr.org/centraltime as well, and we'll leave it there. Esther, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Rob, for having me.
And Lauren, thanks for sharing your work with us.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Esther Durayraj is Program Director for Wisconsin Women in Conservation and a Research Agronomist at the Michael Fields Agricultural Institute. And Lauren Langworthy is Director of Special Projects for the Wisconsin Farmers Union and an owner of Blue Ox Farm in Wheeler. We talked to them today about the Wisconsin Women in Conservation Project, how it's been helping educate and provide resources to women farmers and other land stewards around the state.